where there were two brothers over in Ireland named Pat and Mike. And they were holy terrors. Their teenage years, they're always getting into trouble. Their young adult years, they're always drinking, carrying on, getting into trouble, getting arrested. They drove Father Murphy crazy. And, well, a number of years went by and Pat died. And so Mike went to the church to arrange his funeral mass, and he said, you know, well, Father, I want you to say a funeral mass for my brother Pat. Well, Father Murphy said, yes, I will say the mass, of course, but of course, as you know, he never went to church. He was always drinking. I'm not really sure what I should say about him. Well, Mike said, I want you to tell everybody that he was a saint. And Father Murphy said, you know, I can't do that. Well, you know, Mike said, well, I got a large inheritance. I want to donate $10,000 to the restoration of the church, if you'll be willing to say that. Father Murphy was reluctant, but he knew about the leaking roof and all the repairs that had to be done, so he said, I'll see what I can do. So the funeral came about, and during the sermon, Father Murphy said, well, everybody knows Pat never went to church. He always was drinking, fighting in the bars. But compared to his brother Mike, he was a saint. Well, tonight's topic is on our call to holiness. The topic is 10 easy ways to become a saint. 10 steps to personal holiness. So let me share with you some ideas and some thoughts on how to grow closer to God. As you know, to become a saint, to become holy, is our vocation. That's why God created us. As one author said, the only tragedy in life is to die without having become a saint. That's the only tragedy in life. And we know that it's God's grace that produces saints. But the saints had free will. They responded generously to God's grace. And that's our prayer, that we will respond generously to the grace of God in our life. Remember the saying, do your best and God will do the rest. So remember that. Just do your best and God will do the rest. It's God's grace that produces holiness in a person, but we have to cooperate with our free will to respond generously to that grace. One of the best things we can do is to learn the lives of the saints and study their lives, and if we can do what they did, try to imitate them as best we can grow in holiness as well. So one question is, well, what is the definition of a saint? Well, one of my favorites is, a saint is a sinner who kept on trying, who never gave up. Now, another definition of saint, of course, is anyone who makes it to heaven. This would be either canonized or uncanonized people. And a saint is the friend of God. Once a CCD class was going in the church for a tour, and the teacher said, what is a saint? And the young child looked up and saw a stained glass window. And she pointed up and says, I know, a saint is someone through whom God's light shines through. It's a beautiful definition. So remember that holiness leads to happiness and eternal life and to heaven. Sin leads to unhappiness, death, and separation from God in hell. So we want to grow in holiness during life, to realize that is our true vocation. Vatican II told us that again and again, the universal call to holiness, not just for priests and nuns to become holy, but each and every person has that vocation. So let me walk you through really what I consider 10 easy ways to become a saint, or 10 steps to personal holiness. These are things you'll see in the lives and the writings of the saints. We might be able to imitate these as well. Number one is the saints had a goal to get to heaven. That was their burning desire, was to become a saint. If you read the lives of these wonderful men and women, like Saint Therese, the little flower, even at a young age, she had a great desire to become a saint, to be close to God, to love God as he has never yet been loved. And so we become what we think about. If we think about holiness and about God, we move in that direction. So we see in the lives of the saints this desire, this burning love of God, this desire for union with God, a desire for holiness. And in life, we need targets. We need goals in life. You know, it's hard to hit a target that you don't have. Think of a pilot. If a pilot doesn't have a destination, how can he get to that destination? If the captain of a ship doesn't have a plan and a direction and a point of harbor, will he get to that harbor if he doesn't make a plan to arrive there? An archer shooting a bow and arrow, can he hit a target he doesn't have? So once you have that target, that's really a great step towards holiness. Number two is we're called to study our faith. And we need to study the scriptures and the catechism. Why should we study the Bible? Well, St. Jerome tells us, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. If we don't study scripture, we cannot get to know Christ. We should do spiritual reading every day. A great way to read the Bible is through the daily readings, the Magnificat readings, the daily missal, to read the readings each day for Mass, to read our Bible. As Bishop Sheen says, go to your house, find your Bible, wipe the dust off it, and open it up. I know somebody that whenever somebody gets married, and a young couple, he gives them a beautiful family Bible for the coffee table. And on the inside cover he writes, dear so-and-so, it pays to read the Bible. Love, Uncle Joe. And sometimes it's 5 years go by, 10 years go by, they finally open the Bible and find five $100 bills in the back. Okay? Right around John chapter 6. Okay? It took them sometimes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they still haven't opened that Bible. So it pays to read the Bible. So that's why he wrote that there. If they would only have read it earlier. So besides the Bible, of course, we should read the lives of the saints. St. Francis de Sales says that reading scripture is like reading music on a page. Reading the lives of the saints is like hearing music sung, because the saints lived out the scriptures. The saints lived out the words that are in Holy Scripture. Remember that the more we know God, the more we can love Him. So try to read 10 to 15 minutes each day. So under studying our faith, first should be reading, second should be listening, and third should be watching. The second thing of studying the faith should be what I call spiritual listening. Listening to cassette tapes in the car, listening to CDs. We live in one of the greatest times in the history of the Catholic Church when you can get Bishop Sheen and Mother Angelica and Mother Teresa and so many of the great speakers on CD and tapes and listen to them in your car. So a lot of people don't even know if their radio works because they're always listening to these tapes, to Scott Hahn and to Marcus Grodi and all these wonderful converts that we have out there. So I tell people, don't just be a bookworm, become a tapeworm. Listen to tapes in the car. And of course, it's the greatest invention since the printing press, is the cassette tapes and the CDs. Catholic Lighthouse has over 100 CDs, and you can listen to them and really become a very well-educated Catholic. One of the problems in the Catholic Church today is lack of adult education of the faith. So many parents don't know their faith, and because of that, the kids don't know their faith. So your job is to read and study your faith, to listen to these CDs and tapes, to continue to educate yourself in the truths of the faith. The average person drives 10,000 to 20,000 miles a year. Some of you more than that. So turn your car into a university on wheels. Listen to tapes and CDs in your car. UCLA did a study that if you listen to cassette tapes in your car for 1 year, driving around 10 to 20,000 miles a year, that's equivalent to 1 year of a college education. So 4 years of listening to tapes, that's a 4-year college education. And so turn your car into the university on the wheels. And then under that also should be spiritual watching, which I call like watching the great Catholic DVDs. You get Bishop Sheen and all sorts of wonderful things, Father Carapi. You can watch Mother Angelica, hopefully get EWTN up here, and you can watch those very educational programs as well. So under Study the Faith comes spiritual reading, listening, and watching. Number three, the third way to grow in holiness is fulfilling the duties of your state in life. Okay? Doing the duties of your state in life. Doing God's will. Trying to be the best mother, the best father, the best wife, husband, grandmother, grandfather, student, priest, teacher, being the best that you can be in the duties of your state in life. To do your ordinary duties extraordinarily well. To do ordinary things with great love of God, as Saint Therese says. You don't have to go to Africa to become a missionary. You don't have to live in a monastery. You're supposed to live in the world, but not be of the world. To live a holy life in the workplace, in the kitchen, in the home, washing the dishes, doing the vacuuming, the laundry, getting the kids ready for school. This is your vocation, most of you. And it's by doing those things with great love of God, you can grow in holiness. Doing God's will. St. Maximilian Kolbe, when he would teach class, would walk into a classroom, and on the blackboard, he would write a little W equals a big W. He said, that's holiness. When your will is in conformity to the will of God. When your will equals God's will. That is holiness. So don't think you, let's say, would become holy if you were just some other vocation. A lot of people think that. They think, oh, if I was only in the monastery, it would be so much easier. If I was only a nun, it would be so much easier. We call this the Acres of Diamonds syndrome. Have you ever heard that story, Acres of Diamonds? It's a true story about an African farmer who read about diamonds, that people were discovering diamond mines and diamond fields. And so what he did was he sold his property and he spent the next 30 years traveling around the African continent looking for diamonds. Never found them. He got depressed. He fell into despair and he drowned himself. Well, back on his original farm that he had owned, a few years after that, people were walking through the fields and they saw a creek going through his property. The new owners found something that glimmered and glistened, so they took it, a big piece of a stone, put it on the mantle, didn't know what it was. And then one day somebody happened to come visiting and they looked up there and they saw this huge, you know, glistening rock, and they said, do you know what this is? And the owner said, I have no idea, but there's hundreds of those in our streams. And the fellow says, you've just discovered one of the largest diamonds in the history of the world. And it turns out that that field was an acre of diamonds, that the original man who sold his farm to go look for diamonds elsewhere had the largest diamond mine on the continent of Africa, in his own backyard, but he went off looking somewhere else. So in your life, don't go off looking for something else. You're called to be holy in your vocation, as a mom, as a grandmother, as a dad, as a husband. So that is your acres of diamonds. That's how God wants you to become a saint, in your own vocation that you're in right now. Number four, the saints tell us that to grow in holiness, it would be very valuable to attend daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. St. Pius X said it's the safest, the surest, most direct way to holiness, is frequent reception of Jesus in Holy Communion, because the Eucharist is Christ Himself, the source of grace. Frank Duff once wrote that if you're really serious about your spiritual life, you'll make sure you get to daily Mass, if you can, according to the duties of your state in life, of course. If you're able to do it, then he says that's a great way to grow in holiness. Many people do this during Lent. They go to daily Mass during Lent or Advent, and then they're able to continue it throughout the rest of the year. So nourish your soul with the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And when you go to Mass, offer your Mass and communion for a special intention. And then realize that when you attend Mass, you hear most of the Bible being read to you on a regular basis. You know, if you go to daily Mass for about 2 years, you'll hear most of the Bible being read to you on a 2-year cycle. If you go to Sunday Mass, it's a 3-year cycle. See, Catholics should know their Bible better than anybody, right? Because we hear it so often. So daily Mass and Communion, one of the greatest things that the saints tell us to grow in holiness, to nourish your soul with the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. Number 5, regular confession. So many of the saints, obviously John Paul II, Mother Teresa, but the holier these people were, the more often they seemed to go to confession because they wanted that spiritual growth. I recommend, of course, trying to go at least once a month. I call it balancing your spiritual checkbook. You know, if you don't go to confession for 6 months or a year at a time or 5 years, it's very difficult to remember everything. But if you go on a regular basis, once a month or every 2 weeks to gain the plenary indulgence, then you can, it's much easier to remember your sins and to make a good confession. Confession is like giving your soul a shower. Imagine if you met somebody that hadn't showered in 20 years. Where would you want them? Way in the back of the room, right? Same thing with confession. If you met somebody who hadn't gone to confession in 20 years, their soul needs a shower. So encourage them to go to confession. In confession, the Legion of Mary Handbook recommends that, you know, the reason why we should go is not only to get rid of the big sins, the mortal sins, but even the venial sins. By confessing the venial sins, we can eliminate them and grow in holiness. In confession, we get good advice and encouragement and some spiritual guidance and spiritual direction on how to grow in virtue, especially how to grow in humility, because that's the opposite of pride, which is at the root of every sin. Did you ever notice that at the root of most sins is pride? Pride was the sin of Lucifer. It was the sin of Adam and Eve. And it's the greatest way to grow in holiness is through humility, because that is the antidote for pride, which is at the root of just about every sin. And when you go to confession and have to humbly confess your sins to Jesus through the priest, it's an act of humility. And remember, when you go to confession, you're confessing to Jesus Christ, who's present in that priest due to his ordination. That priest was ordained by a bishop who was ordained by a previous bishop back to those apostles who were ordained by Christ. So there's an amazing story in the life of St. Margaret Mary. And she went to her spiritual director, St. Claude de la Colombière, and said, I think Jesus is appearing to me. How do I know if it's really him? And St. Claude said, well, let's try this. The next time this figure appears to you, ask him, what is the last sin I, Father Claude, confessed when I went to confession? And that might give you an indication depending on how he answered it. Well, the next time Jesus appeared, St. Margaret Mary said, Lord, what is the last sin that my spiritual director, Father Claude, confessed when he went to confession? And Jesus said, tell him I no longer remember his sins. That convinced Father Claude that it was truly Jesus. That in confession, though our sins be like scarlet, they become white as snow. What a beautiful thing that is, that Jesus forgives our sins in confession. Number 6, the saints all had devotion to Our Lady. It's the hallmark of the saints. That when we think of the wonderful saints, especially in modern times, people like St. Louis de Montfort, people like Mother Teresa, John Paul, and others that are either canonized or on their way to canonization, people like St. Padre Pio and others, Don Bosco, John Vianney, St. Bernard, Catherine of Siena, they all had devotion to Our Lady. And because the saints realized the importance of that, their motto was always, to Jesus through Mary. And Pope John Paul II said that out of all the great Marian spiritualities, he said that the one he recommended the most was the spirituality of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. the true devotion, the consecration, preparing 33 days, making the consecration, renewing our baptismal vows, and consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary, allowing Mary and the Holy Spirit to form and fashion the image and likeness of Christ within us. In the consecration, we give Our Lady everything, past, present, and future, all of our spiritual and material things, and then we give it to Our Lady, who in turn gives it to Christ. So devotion to Our Lady, praying the rosary every day, is an important part of our spiritual life, wearing the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the miraculous medal. I would say that if we are doing these things and have a tender and true devotion to Our Lady, I'm sure in your home you'll have a statue of her or an icon of our Blessed Mother. See, these things can help us to grow in holiness. Devotion to Our Lady, they say, is a sign of, a hallmark of the saint, and a sure sign that we're on the right road towards heaven. Number 7, doing a plan of life, having a daily plan of life that includes prayer. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that prayer, that those who pray will be saved. Those who do not pray will be damned. So prayer is the key to salvation. So make sure in your daily plan of life, your spiritual plan of life, you incorporate time for prayer. And it's a great idea when you wake up in the morning to begin your day talking to God. Give your first thoughts to God, as Frank Duff says in his booklet, Can We Be Saints, which is one of the greatest booklets ever written on the spiritual life, called Can We Be Saints by Frank Duff. He wrote it when he was 27 years old. It was published by the Catholic Truth Society, and it's brilliant. In 30 pages, he gives one of the best descriptions of how to grow in the spiritual life. Well, he recommends, of course, giving our first thoughts to God. You know, St. Escriva calls it the heroic moment, when you get up and you dedicate your day to God. And Bishop Sheen once said, there are two kinds of people that wake up in the morning. The first kind says, good morning, God. The second group says, good God, morning. So ask yourself, what kind of a person are you? Are you a good morning, God person, or a good God, morning person? To dedicate your day to God, say the morning offering, and when you wake up, dedicate your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to Almighty God through our Blessed Mother. Try to say some morning prayers. St. John Vianney said that the Lord gives you the grace for your whole day in the morning. Just like a good breakfast can carry you through, so your morning prayer, that's your spiritual breakfast. Remember that that prayer is food for your soul. So ask yourself, are you well nourished spiritually? Ask yourself the question, if you ate as much as you prayed, how hungry would you be? If you're only allowed to eat as much as you prayed every day, would you be well fed or would you be spiritually malnourished? You know, can you get to Mass? Can you pray the Rosary or the Liturgy of the Hours? Spend some time in prayer, meditation, do some spiritual reading, trying to visit the Blessed Sacrament, stopping in to say hello to Jesus, trying to make a visit to Jesus before the Blessed Sacrament. I'd especially recommend a holy hour. Now, once a week, if you have perpetual adoration in your parish, make sure you're making a weekly holy hour. But many of the people, Frank Duff and others, made a daily holy hour. Every day, Jesus said, can you not watch 1 hour with me? Bishop Sheen never missed a holy hour in 53 years as a priest. Made a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. He had incredible power over souls. As you know, Bishop Sheen, even on some occasions, he had to walk up and down the church so he wouldn't fall asleep. On one occasion, he went into a church, St. Roch's in Paris. He only had a couple hours in between trains. And he walked in there, sat in the pew, and he fell asleep. And he was woken exactly 1 hour later, and he asked his guardian angel, did I make a holy hour? And his guardian angel said, yeah, you made it the same way the apostles made their first one, sound asleep in the garden. But it still counted. So the holy hour is very powerful. So try to make a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, or at least once a week. That is a powerful thing to do. So then at night before you go to sleep, make an examination of conscience and make an act of contrition. See, those are the bookends of the spiritual life. The morning offering as you begin your day, and the act of contrition as you end your day. So the plan of life, a spiritual daily plan of life that includes some time for prayer. Number 8 is the sacramentals, making use of the sacramentals of the church. As I mentioned, the sacraments were established by Christ, visible signs instituted by Christ to give grace. But there are countless sacramentals, little holy things, that remind us of God, that lead us to the sacraments. So make sure in your home, especially with the children or the grandchildren, to have religious articles that can be very helpful as reminders of God, a statue, a crucifix, holy water in the house, the image of the Sacred Heart enthroned in the home somewhere. Carry your rosary, wear your medal or brown scapular. The sacramentals are very helpful as reminders of God, and they lead people to the sacraments. Number 9 is the cross. Accepting the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. As you know, every life has crosses, every life has difficulties and sufferings. So the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. Realize that if you have any suffering in your life, it's because God's allowing it to bring about a greater good, to bring about your sanctification, to give you a share in the passion of Christ. Christ saves us by the cross, and we are saved by the cross. So don't allow your crosses to turn you away from God. Allow your crosses to bring you closer to God. So your cross will either take you closer or further from the Lord. Your crosses will be your stumbling block or your stepping stone. Some people, they turn away from God because of their sufferings and their crosses. It's become their stumbling block. But for you, make sure it's your stepping stone to loving God all the more. Crosses can make somebody bitter or better. Look at the two thieves crucified next to Christ. One on the right, one on the left. The cross of Jesus was in the middle, and the two thieves were suffering equally. One of them said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The other one blasphemed and turned away. See, both suffered equally, but one allowed their suffering to bring them closer to God, the other turned away from the Lord. The one that accepted Christ was Saint Dismas. We call him Saint Dismas. In fact, he was a master thief. He even stole heaven at the last minute. He's a thief to the end, as Bishop Sheen says. So notice that the two thieves both suffered. And in your life, you can accept suffering and to offer it up to the Lord, uniting it to Him, like St. Dismas did, or you can allow it to turn you away from God and reject Him. Many people reject God. It's the number one reason why people deny the existence of God. They say, how can a good God allow suffering? But it's also the number one means of bringing people closer to God as well. Unite your sufferings to Christ. Offer everything to the Lord. Remember what the nun said years ago? 3 words. Offer it up. Everybody knows those words. Great wisdom of the sisters. Lastly, number 10. Is the apostolate. That another way to grow in holiness is to share your faith. If you don't use your faith, you lose your faith. Our faith really is like a pond. If the pond does not give of itself, it becomes stagnant. If you go to the Holy Land, and as some of you have been there, you'll notice there are 2 great bodies of water. You have the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee receives the Jordan River and gives forth the Jordan River. The Dead Sea accepts the Jordan River, but it keeps it itself. It does not have an outlet. So because of that, the Dead Sea is 40% salt. It's poison. If you go in there with an open cut, it'll burn you. And because it has not shared it's become stagnant, and nothing can live in the Dead Sea, no fish, no vegetation. So our life, if we don't share our faith, can become very stagnant. We want to be like the Sea of Galilee, teeming with life, teeming with fish, because we have the faith, but we don't keep it to ourselves. We share it, and we give it out to others. If we don't use our faith, we'll lose our faith. Father Faber once said, if you don't try to convert the world will convert you. If you don't convert the world, you'll be converted by the world. So you have to get involved in something, some apostolate, some ministry. Let's say a person's in the nursing home or the hospital, their apostolate is probably the apostolate of suffering, to offer their suffering to the Lord. Bishop Sheen, when he went to the hospital, used to ask each person, could you do me the favor of offer up 5 minutes of your suffering for me? To get them the idea that their suffering had value. So we could turn our nursing homes into powerhouses of prayer and grace if we talk to people about the meaning of suffering and the value of suffering. So some people might only have the apostolate of suffering. If they can't get out of their house, they might be quadriplegic, they might be paralyzed, they might be in a hospital or a nursing home, but their apostolate could be offering up their sufferings. If you have good enough health, and Jesus is calling you to do something with that, to obviously do your wonderful work that you're doing in your visitations, for example, members of the Legion of Mary, knocking on doors, visiting the hospitals, the prisons, the nursing homes. Many do pro-life work, that wonderful work of trying to save the lives of unborn children. Many teach CCD, to share the faith with others. So consider that. So you have to figure out what is your ministry, what is your apostolate, and then to pull your whole heart into that. One of the benefits of the apostolate is not only is it a way to give back to God and to serve God, but it's a great way to develop good Catholic friendships and to have that association. You know, if you want to, for example, if people want to give up alcohol, they go to AA to get group support. So if you want to grow in holiness, join an organization that helps you to obtain holiness. It actually helps so much to have other people that are doing the same things as us. And they say that if you ever get depressed, the best thing to do is go visit somebody that's more depressed than you. Okay? There's some truth about that. If you're unhappy, it's because you're not helping others to be happy. The greatest way to grow in happiness yourself is to make others happy. The greatest way to get rid of depression is to go visit people that are in prison or in the nursing home or that are worse off than we are. And that can help a lot. To bring that joy to them. As Mother Teresa said, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and yourself. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. So what are we doing to help others? And again, as Mother Teresa said, that, you know, people have even a greater need for the spiritual than they do for the physical well-being. People need, they're thirsty for God, they're hungry for truth, they're starving for the Eucharist. So our job is to bring that back as best we can to the faith. I realize that nobody goes to heaven by themselves. The person who goes to heaven turns around and they see all the hundreds of people that follow them because of their example. And nobody goes to hell by themselves either. They turn around and see all the people they dragged with them by their bad example. So nobody goes to heaven or hell by themselves. They always bring people with them for good or for bad. So these are 10 ideas, 10 ways to grow in holiness. Most of these are very simple, ordinary things that we can do. But with God's grace, we can grow in holiness. So that's our goal, of course, to set this as a goal, to study our faith, to do the duties of our state in life, try to get to Mass and Communion, regular confession, devotion to Our Lady, daily prayer, make use of the sacramentals, accept the crosses and the sufferings that come to us in life, and to be engaged in a ministry, in an activity. I think if we did these 10 things, which are things that the saints did, we too can grow in holiness with the grace of God. God bless you.